Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome back, Amy. It's good to be together with you again today. I had a question for you.
All right.
Do you remember what happened in August of 1977?
Well, it's not ringing a bell.
It's a pretty significant date in the life of our church. How old were you in 1977?
How old were you?
yeah, it doesn't really matter. But something like I still had 7 years until I breathed on this earth. Mm-hmm. So, but August 1977 was pretty significant because this was the first time that Fellowship met together as a church. And Fellowship met together in the Anthony School on Mississippi Street back in 1977.
Wow, that's right. So we're celebrating our 40th birthday as a church this year.
That's good math. Good job, Amy. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Do you remember how you first got involved at Fellowship?
Yeah, you know, my first experience with Fellowship was really the people. I was a freshman at the University of Arkansas, and several of my friends had grown up in this church. And so as I was making friends, I was really drawn to several of these people as I just saw how they loved one another and loved Jesus and wanted to follow him. And as I would make these friends, I would ask them, so where are you from? And they'd say Little Rock. Oh, well, where do you go to church? And it was always Fellowship. And so there was just a presence there on the University of Arkansas campus of students who had come out of this church and had been discipled in this church, and they really stood out. The first time I visited Fellowship was with one of those friends. I came home with her to visit her family, and we went to church that Sunday. And I just remember seeing the church and seeing the way that they worshiped and the teaching. And I was just so encouraged as I left that day. And little did I know at that time that one day this would be my church home as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. My first exposure came in 2011. When Emily and I were moving to Little Rock, we'd always gone to the same churches growing up, and we had this grand master plan that when we moved to Little Rock, it would be a fresh start, and we'd visit all these different churches in Little Rock to figure out where we wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And our first Sunday landed us at Fellowship Bible Church here in West Little Rock, and we never looked back. We never went to any other church because we were just captured. Mm. God told us that this was the church that we would be at and that we would be involved with. Yeah. In 2011. We were just amazed by the teaching from the front and how clear the gospel was in their teaching and how it resonated with where we were in life. And so Fellowship has become our home. We've adopted three kids here at Fellowship. We've had we gave birth to our fourth child here at Fellowship. We've had great small group experiences where people have just wrapped themselves around us, even when we've gone through some of the hard points in life. Every Sunday when we come to this church, we try to teach our kids now that we're coming to the church building. This is just a building, right?
Yeah.
And the people are the church. We're coming to worship with the church, the body, as we worship Jesus together on Sundays. But we love Fellowship. We're so excited to be celebrating 40 years this year.
That's so great. I love just hearing the stories of how the life of this church has really impacted families and individuals. And so all of you guys listening to this, we want to hear your story too. So what was your first experience with Fellowship? You can send us an email at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'd just love to get those stories from you and share them. So today, though, we have the opportunity to talk with Bill Parkinson. Bill was one of the first pastors, founding pastor of Fellowship back in 1977, and he has been with the church all this time and is still on staff today with us. So thanks for spending some time with us today, Bill.
It's a lot of fun. It's great to see generations continuing on, drawn to the Word of God and to this community and building the kingdom.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, Bill. You know, one of my first exposures with you, Bill, was on a Sunday, one of our first Sundays here. You got up on stage in costume, and I kept wondering when the sermon was going to start, but you just went with this character of Jonah and played out the entire book of Jonah from Jonah's perspective on the stage. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen.
You know, that's something that we started in the early years. I was exposed to that kind of teaching when I was in Dallas, Texas, by a pastor named Jim Rose at Northwestern Bible Church. And I thought, what a creative way to get people to enter into the actual mind, thought, heart of a Bible character, and to hear them share their own process of how they were struggling to trust God, and then seeing God work and move, and how faithful He was even when they were not faithful. And people, it's interesting, they get lost in the story. And so Ann will tell me, you know, I know it's you for the first 5 minutes, and then I forget all about that, and it's like it's somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Jonah takes over.
Yeah, I love the Jonah story, because everybody said, who was that after it was all over? Did we bring a professional or somebody in from the outside to do this morning? They never had any idea it was me.
Well, we love having you with us this morning, Bill, because you've been here with this church since the beginning, and we just want to talk with you a little bit of what you've seen God do in this church and where you see God taking this church in the future.
Yeah. So can you just share with us a little bit about why Fellowship was started?
From maybe 1968 to 1972, we were a part of Campus Crusade for Christ, a movement on the campus at the University of Arkansas. And it was exciting to be there. In fact, next spring, they're going to celebrate their 50th anniversary of that movement that took place on the campus. And so it was exciting to be there, and God created a revival there. I mean, the first summer, after the first year of us being on campus, we took 90 students to California to be trained in what was called Leadership Training Institute, where they had a chance to learn how to share their faith, how to lead a small group. And in that, we saw a foundation created for small group ministry, where one another passages can be lived out. At the same time, a mission mindset, because that's what Campus Crusade was all about.
Yes.
How are we going to reach the world for Christ? So we brought back 90 motivated, equipped students to help lead the ministry at the University of Arkansas. And there was a revival that took place on campus there. As a result of that, years later, when those students graduated from college, Northwest Arkansas wasn't grown and expanded the way it has now with all the jobs and opportunities. The place to come was Little Rock. And so students came to Little Rock, Arkansas for jobs, and they said, we miss that kind of active spiritual life. We'd like to be a part of a church that's a lot like what we experienced when we were on the campus, growing, sharing our faith, seeing lives changed.
That's interesting, because I see that now as a young pastor in our church. We still have that. I meet a lot of young adults and a lot of young couples that are moving to Little Rock for work, and their first exposure to Fellowship is just walking in the doors their first weekend in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was exciting because we started meeting in a home of one of the first pastors here, Don Meredith. And Don and Sally had been involved in helping plant a Fellowship Bible Church in Dallas, Texas. And they had moved here to Little Rock, and they kept having people call them, or they see them at the store or whatever, and say, hey, are you going to start a church here in Little Rock? And they said, well, we hadn't really thought about that to this point, but if there's a need, we sure will. And about 6 months into that, they started thinking, I think God's leading. These questions keep prompting the need for a church that's a lot like what we experienced in that revival. People really want revival. Mm-hmm. They want to see mm-hmm. Jesus be real in their life every day. They don't want to play church.
Yes.
They really want to see the kingdom established here in the city. Mm-hmm. So we started meeting in Don Sally's home. We went through a book called Sharpening the Focus on the Church, written by Gene Getz. And in that, he talked about a church community where you live out the one another passages and the mission of God. Mm-hmm. And after a year of doing that and people saying, that's what we want, then in August of 1977, after 9 months of meeting in that home, we had our first church service and had it in the evening so people could just come and taste.
Oh, wow.
They might still be a part of their church on Sunday morning, and we didn't want to take people away from churches, but how could they come and taste? So we met on Sunday evenings for about 6 to 8 weeks.
And you guys met at the Anthony School.
At the Anthony School. Don was doing some counseling with Mrs. Anthony about how to run her school. He was a good financial, organizational planner. And so he helped her, and in return, she said, you can meet at our school for free and use our classroom space and our gym. So we did a lot of work around the school and mowed lawns and painted her gym and did all kinds of things to enhance the school experience for them. But we started meeting there, and I think the first Sunday and a Sunday evening we had about 60 people, and the end of 8 weeks we had about 150 people who were meeting, and that's when we decided to move to Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I love hearing the history of our church. It just really helps us appreciate the journey that God has taken us on over these years. And
yeah, it's always stretching, and you always wonder how it's going to work. I mean, we didn't receive salaries as pastors for the first 6 months. There really was just barely enough money to buy supplies and do the things you had to do to function. But everybody was just chipping in. Everybody mm-hmm. was being a part. Everybody had a job, a spiritual job at the church, whether it would be serving in the back with the kids, which we call the Learning Center at that time, mm-hmm. Or being out there a part of the service and helping the structure of that, the sharing, all the things that took place, the donuts and the coffee that we had at break time in the early days. The service was 2.5 hours long in the early days.
Wow.
So people come in and visit, and then we'd have about an hour, and then we'd break for coffee for about and donuts for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'd come back and have a sharing portion of the service. So it would, but nobody thought it was long. Everybody thought, this is great.
Yes, they were enjoying the time with one another and the time in the church. That's awesome. So, Bill, looking back over the last 40 years, what are some of the ways that you've seen God move in this city through our church?
I think our philosophy of ministry, of being an equipping-oriented church, is really important to helping us become a catalyst for ministry in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted people to come and be trained for a period of time in small groups. We have what we call our season of life groups. And so you were in a season of life with people, and you were being equipped to function in that season of life. But then just like Jesus with his men, being with them for 3 years and then saying, you guys are equipped. It's time for me to leave. It's time for you to go out. We felt like people needed to make that transition to becoming more involved in using their gifts, not only in the body, but out in the community as well. And so it was the releasing of people out into the community that really began to create an effect in some ways, as well as some things that our staff was doing. But they started creating ministries out there. They started ministering over at the medical center with the seniors in medical school, and had a D group, a community group that was committed to training them up in some ways that med school didn't focus on.
Mm.
That would help their marriages, help their offices and profession and things that they do when they would step out, that the med school was just training them in how to do medicine.
Yes.
And these folks brought in speakers, and they equipped them, and they had banquets for them. And it was amazing to see the influence that a group could have. A group went down to the inner city in North Little Rock, and they were involved in something called the STEP Ministry, Strategies to Equip People. And as they were involved down there, they were ministering to single moms. They were helping scholarship kids to go to camps up in Branson, Missouri in the summertime, inner city camps. And they were seeing, we can make a difference. Another D group actually established an abstinence program in Little Rock and North Little Rock for junior high students. And they were in schools with speakers and promoting abstinence in those schools. And this was just a group of 10 or 12 people in a group, and they were beginning to say, we can make a difference. And mm-hmm. and that began, that was contagious. Mm-hmm. That began to spread throughout the city with ShareFest, and then lots of churches becoming involved in making a difference in their community by serving their communities. So it was exciting to see that equipping aspect and that discipling aspect moving outside the four walls of the church mm-hmm. spread. I love the T-shirt that was here 1 year that it said on the front of it, the church has left the building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the idea of being a catalyst. The church has left the building to be the kingdom of God in the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So over the last 40 years, what would you say is one of your number one highlights of being a part of this church?
Yeah, I think it has been seeing the city itself change. I'd say it's not so much about us. It's about how the city has continued to evolve spiritually. Mm-hmm. George Barnum has got a list of 100 cities in the United States who are what he would say the most evangelical. And he asks 8 questions on a survey that they take with tens of thousands of people in different cities all around the country to say, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And he has like 7 or 8 biblical tests of faithfulness to the scriptures and solid Christian belief. He would tell you, I just saw the survey come out the other day, that Little Rock is ranked number 8 out of the top 100 as far as being a city that reflects biblical priorities, values, beliefs. And so you say, why is that? Well, I can tell you that wasn't true 40 years ago. But the church has been out in the community. There's been a multiplication of churches. There are now so many good churches that you can be a part of that are equipping their people to be involved in the community. And all of that influence, along with other parachurch organizations that have been brought to town by these churches in order to minister, and these churches investing in them to be involved in the community in life-changing ways. Years ago, we were involved in bringing Bethany Christian Services to town. We said, you know, it's not enough just to say that abortion is not the right option for a mom. You need to provide an alternative for her. So don't just be against something. What are you for that's going to help minister to her and change her life? That's what I've seen this city be transformed to, where the what it believes is now being translated into how it lives, and it's affecting the city in pretty dynamic ways.
You mentioned Bethany, and that part of the ministry of the church has impacted our family in a big way, because one of our sons was adopted through Bethany Christian Services. So, Bill, looking back over the last 40 years, you've been with this church, with Fellowship Bible, since the beginning. And looking out ahead in 40 years to come, the likelihood is that you probably won't be with this church anymore.
Whoa.
But in 40 years to come, what is your prayer over this church? What would you like to see God do with these people here in Little Rock in 40 years?
I'd like to see this culture affecting mindset continue to grow. I think one of the things that is so easy is for us to be excited about things in the early days of our ministry, of our Christian life, of our family. And then it's easy, and I see it happen over and over again as we age, to be seduced by the culture. And to lose that passion to continue to see the kingdom of God established. It's almost like we think we're going to pass it on to the next generation, and now it's their turn. Well, the abundant life either is the abundant life or it's not. And if what you were doing in your 20s and 30s and 40s was the abundant life, that's true in your 60s, 70s, and 80s as well. It doesn't change. And so what I'd like to see is for us to continue as a spiritual community in Little Rock to see our life as, there's no such thing as retirement for a Christian. There's only being redeployed. So maybe I was involved in ministry in one way at a point in time, and now I get to a certain age, and now things have changed for me in some ways, but now I'm being redeployed into other ministry or into other ways of serving the kingdom of God. Because that's what is life-giving. I'll often ask disciples, guys that I disciple in groups, how many of you all believe that Jesus lived the abundant life? And they'll half raise their hand thinking, he's God on earth. I bet he did live the abundant life. But they almost know the follow-up question is coming, and that is, how many of you would like to have the life that Jesus had? And then they go, whoa, you know, yeah, I would love to have the intimacy and the walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the effect on culture, those things. But do I really want to pay that kind of a price? Because again, the culture is seducing me to comfort and to taking care of myself and to being safe. And I'd want our Christian communities to continue to be living on the cutting edge, willing to risk everything in order to experience God's intimacy, closeness, fulfillment, working in and through them to continue to change the culture.
Yeah.
That's such a good encouragement for all of us, Bill. Thank you. So as we wrap up today, Bill, could we just ask you to pray for our church? Could we ask you just to pray for what God has ahead in the years to come and just to offer a prayer of thanks for all that he's done here?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Father, we thank you that you ask us to climb up in your lap and call you Abba, Father. And that's because you love us so much. And you've adopted us into your family. Because what you desire more than anything is an intimate relationship with us. The whole Bible is about one thing, our Heavenly Father passionately pursuing an intimate relationship with his stubborn, self-willed creation. And Father, we thank you that you are pursuing us. And I'm thankful that you have done that and that you have affected and infected us in such a way that we want to be ambassadors for you. We want to pursue other people. We want to represent you. We want people to see you, flesh and blood, your spirit wrapped in our human bodies, ministering in the same way that Jesus did. Jesus said that we would do greater miracles than he's done. How is that possible? It's possible because you indwell millions and millions of people. And here in Little Rock, tens and hundreds of thousands of people. You indwell them. And Father, I ask that in the future you would continue to move in and through us, to continue to help Little Rock become a light, to become a beacon of the way in which a community can be affected and changed, transformed into a community that works together, even with all of its diversity, with all the challenges that we face in our culture today, that this could be a community that is being transformed in such a way that lives are being changed, organizations are being changed, families are being changed. And Father, that people would look and say, how could this happen? That was our prayer in the early days, that Little Rock would be a place where people would say almost of Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Little Rock? And the reality would be that Little Rock would become a beacon of light, of the change and the transformation that Jesus Christ can bring. So, Father, I pray for that in the future, that future generations here would be passionate about that, that they would have a vision for that, and that they would as well see your hand at work in them and through them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for his glory at home and across the world.